live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 262. I'm your host, Brandon Reif. Jonathan Birdsong, my co-host, will be joining us momentarily. And we are back. We are back after a two-week layoff. A lot of things going on. New location. Got the new office all set up. So we're going to be seeing that. That's greatness there. We've got a lot to talk about this evening. We've got the – last we were with you guys, I believe it was NBA free agency back when that was starting. NBA free agency was getting ready to start. We had some news and notes with the Pacers. But we've got a lot of stuff. NFL, the NFL season is getting ready to start here momentarily. We'll be talking NFL and more. We also have got the running backs. Man, the running backs are not too happy in the NFL right now. So we'll be talking a little NFL running back action as well. We'll be talking the Open, the British Open that started today. We'll talk that. College football as well. We are very, very close by. But my main man, Jonathan Birdsong, JB, we are back.
Dude, it feels like it's been 2 months since we haven't podcasted. It's only been like 2 weeks, man. It's good to be back. Good to be back on. Am I coming in clear? I got me some new little sales, man. Hopefully I'm coming in clear.
Yeah, you are coming in clear. We are live on Blog Talk Radio. We also are live on YouTube, on the Crossroads Sports page on YouTube, and as well as Facebook Live Crossroads Sports page and my own personal page as well tonight. JB, I've got the new office digs in order right now.
Okay.
Probably one of my favorite posters I have up that will be in the live stream now. One of my favorite posters of all time. I think it was back in 1995 or 94 or so. I was our county fair that was always in July. They would always have a basketball thing where you can shoot baskets. You make two, you get a poster to take home. I took home poster after poster after frame poster year after year after year. And my most favorite one is right here on the wall right behind me. I've got USA Basketball, America's Team, the original Dream Team, John. The original Dream Team, Leitner, Ewing, Pippen, Robinson, Clyde, Magic, Bird, Mullins, Jordan, all of them on the wall. I also had a I had two more I was going to hang up, but I didn't like the area I had them. So, but I have the Dream Team 2 from 94 with Shaq and Reggie's on there.
Isaiah Thomas.
And And I also have a the Dream Team 3 poster. I have the 1, 2, and 3 posters of Dream Team. Dream Team 3 has Penny Hardaway on there and some other names as well. So, and Reggie was on that one as well. So, but the starters thing, it's framed. America's Team USA, awesome, awesome, awesome. So, John.
Brandon Reif, you ain't a real NBA, I'm going to say basketball fan. If you don't have a little piece of a poster or a basketball card of the original Dream Team, I'm just letting you know, man. That is the iconic picture right there.
Yeah. You see that thing? That thing's sharp.
I got me a ball card of him, man. I keep that in, like, cellophane and everything else, man, so the air don't touch me. So I already know about the Denver Broncos.
Nice. Up above, you can see the Ball State football helmets up there. We talked about where that sucker was going to go. So it's up there.
Let me tell y'all, you have to listen to two episodes ago, man. Won this act on football helmet. Shout out to Ball State. Shout out to Mike Kostlek and the Ball State golf team as well.
Yeah. So, John, last time we were on the show, we were talking.
Man.
NBA draft happened. NBA free agency was going to be the next thing that was going to be big. Yeah. And, let's talk locally first here. Indiana Pacers. the Pacers, they're still looking for that four, that power four. The free agents, it kind of mm-hmm. dried up with Jerami Grant and mm-hmm. Cam Johnson, all them. It kind of dried up, so they're still looking for a trade. Pascal Siakam's been mentioned in a trade. Mm-hmm. The Pacers may be interested, but the Raptors want a lot from it. Bruce Brown, the Pacers go out and get Bruce Brown from Denver. It was a key figure there, basically, for them in that postseason run. $20 million a year. About $20 million a year for this guy, 2-year deal. And I know you got to spend the money, but that signing, we'll see what kind of thing he adds to the program. You really need to get somebody that's, I feel like, at that power four. And then they go out and spend $260 million on the franchise guy, Tyrese Halliburton, $260 million. It's time for him to hit that next gear, as I kind of texted you once we saw it coming.
Yeah, we've seen that, and we learned some things, learned some things from the players that they have in summer league. You know, Nembhard, it was a real short sampling size of Nembhard in the summer league. You saw the very flashy Jairus Walker, right? We saw what he's very very capable of, but you know. Both those players are still very young. Nembhard's probably going to get an even more expanded role now. So I can see where the Pacers are trading. They're going to talk about trading because it's going to be a real big logjam at the guard spot. I'm not saying point guard, shooting guard, because you know Nembhard and some of the other players in this new Pacers that's played fast. You know what I'm saying? Everybody kind of can play, whether that's Buddy Hield or T.J. McConnell. But, like, the bench is – it's going to get kind of clogged. Like, where's playing time going to be met at? They made a trade with the Knicks to get Obi Toppin. Again, you know, what can you expect out of Obi Toppin? You know what I'm saying? In a small sample size, I think they're going to get the best version of Obi Toppin because he's going to be looking for a new deal. But
and I like the contract.
What you're saying is that they are really trying to solidify their starter. The Walker kid's probably going to be, you know what I'm saying, still a work in progress, to be honest with you. Even though he did flash, he flashed very well, but you know what I'm saying, you're talking about a kid who's played maybe, you know what I'm saying, he jumped from high school to play college basketball, and now you tell him he'll have to play 82 games. You expect a kid to play, he played, 25 games, maybe 30 games, 33 games, if he threw the tournament, you know what I'm saying, down in Houston, for Houston. They're looking for, and they have some flexibility with the assets they've attained in the second round draft picks, and they, like I said, in some of the other contracts they have. So I think, Brandon, that the Pacers are going to be somehow grouped into this big move win. But like here's what I'll say, Brandon, and I know we're exclusively kind of talking about Pacers and their movement, but I think they're going to be a part of the big trade that ever when the map of the NBA kind of gets reshaped. I thought it was just, I thought it was just going to be Damian Lillard. And now as we've been gone for like the past 2 weeks, man, I don't think it's just going to be Damian Lillard. You know what I'm saying? Fans of Philadelphia cannot be happy at all with their offseason. Yeah, they got Nick Nurse.
Right.
But that was 3.5 weeks ago. And how has it went from –
they still have a guy that makes a ton of money, James Harden.
You got James Harden who's unhappy, and now you have – like Joel Embiid, who you tanked and gave up picks and like this is your guy. And now he's talking about, well, maybe I'm here, maybe I'm not, man. So, and we all know Damian Lillard, the saga that is happening in, you know, saying in Portland. But so again, I think the Pacers are going to be one of the teams that kind of get. How can I forget the hot mess that is Zion Williamson? You know, so potentially as a piece that might get moved. So I think the Pacers are going to be patient. As Portland is going to be patient, as we all know, Daryl Morey at Philadelphia is going to be patient as well. But like, there's probably going to be don't wake up, you know what I'm saying, when the NBA kind of comes back after Labor Day or so and says, hey, you know, the Pacers have moved XYZ MLP player for, you know what I'm saying, for that to solidify that power four position for sure. But don't be surprised if it happens.
Okay. We're going to take we have a couple callers on there. One of our guys, actually two of our guys. We'll take the first one here. Crossroads Sports Radio, who do we got?
Yeah, this is Nas, man. What's up, guys?
What's up, Nas? How are you, man?
I'm doing well, man. Glad you boys riding and getting into the minutiae of NBA offseason. I'm loving it, man. This is better than a lot of podcasts I actually download. You know what I'm saying? I got a download, so this is a lot better than what they're doing. But, yeah, things are bright in Indiana, brother. All you guys got to do is figure out what package you're willing to accept for TJ, McConnell, and my man Buddy Hield. Like, I can see those two being out the door because that Mathurin kid is really good. And you add him to Jairus Walker and, of course, Haliburton, who is a franchise-level player who loves basketball, which I think is the key component there. That dude really loves to play basketball. So that's going to be something going forward. So, yeah, I don't think you guys are in the running for any big fish, but you can get some depth or, you know, future draft picks to build around this young core that you have. So I like what Indiana's doing. Philly, that's a whole other story. You got a big man with chronic health problems, and you bring in Nick Nurse. What's Nick Nurse going to do, play him 38 minutes a game like he did everybody in Toronto? So I have no idea what Philly is doing. I don't think anybody wants James Harden, and you're going to end up, if you do have to trade, or if you do find a trade, it's going to be for somebody else with injury risk and a bad contract. So I don't really see anything good going on in Philly right now, man. They're stuck. The only piece you got people want is Maxey, and you need to keep him. So I think they're in trouble. And as far as the Dame thing, I think Miami and Portland eventually get it done. I think Pat is being a little – Pat and Spoelstra, and they're a little brain trust. I think they're being a little hard-headed and trying to squeeze as much as they can out of Portland when they should just be thinking, give them the young players, give them the picks, get the deal done to make sure that it's done. Like, if they want another first, send Hero somewhere to bring back a first and just get it done. Give them all the young players they want. The most important thing is having Dame, Bam, and Jimmy together for the next 2 years to try to win a chip. And as far as Portland, you got Scoot. It's time to move on. Dame has filled up that building for years when they really didn't deserve it. And if you do this right, you can set it up to where when you're contending, you can bring back Dame on a vet minimum as an old guy and have him shake hands and kiss babies and continue to make money off of Dame 20, 30 years from now. So to me, this is a real, you know, precise thing that you have to do. Like, I don't think you could just walk out here with this idea of we're just going to send Dame anywhere. No, that's not going to work.
Right.
Man, so.
Yeah, John, what's your thoughts on that? I mean, I know you quickly went over it with I agree with Nas. I do think a deal gets done. I mean, there's no rush right now, right? I think you kind of let it play out,
right,
and you give it time into September and to early October, and I think you get a deal before the season starts.
And, yeah, and quite honestly, man, if they don't have a deal and you go back to Dame, like, dude, Dame, we invested XYZ and a lot of capital for you to play for us. Like, man, Terry Stotts is not here anymore. And I don't, he wasn't the problem while they broke up. That just kind of ran its course. But, like, they try to put a team around. Damian Lillard cannot say that they did not try to put a team around him. Now, the last two seasons, I get it, man. It was kind of a youth movement. But, like, for Dame to kind of come out, I kind of lose my mind when Dame says, I'm not part of a youth movement. Like, dude, that's all they drafted, like, the last two seasons is youth.
Right.
I don't know why a deal wasn't made for pick three. Because, like, man, Scoot Henderson Flash, I get it, man. He's only played – it's a small sample size, man, because he turned the ankle. But everybody knew – you know what I'm saying? If your scouting team was about anything, you knew that kid can play. I don't know why. Like, who's gonna? They should be. And people call me crazy when I say he should have went number two. But you know, the Hornets didn't want to. You know, saying rattle a cage by bringing in another ball handler for ball. You know what I'm saying? To kind of worry about, like, dude, they can play together. I mean, like, and like, what would that look like? You know, so that's the new NBA. Everybody has two ball handlers. You know what I'm saying? In their backcourt, man. So. Nobody was fishing for pick three, or maybe they were trying to attach too much. Maybe they were trying to attach Nurkic to just the contract or something, you know, something that they was, you know what I mean? Because, like, those deals happened. Maybe they were asking too much for pick three. But if you wanted, if Portland could have been back into it, into with a happy superstar and potentially, you know, a big splash, just like Phoenix did, just like, you know, who else had a big splash this year in the West? You know what I'm saying? But you see what I'm saying? They could have moved pick three. Toronto,
right.
I look at Toronto. Why are they holding on to OG and Obi and Paige Siakam? You see what I'm saying? Why they let the other guy? They let the kid for Houston. Yeah, but thank you, Van Fleet, walk away. And I really don't think he got overpaid in Houston. But they let him walk away, and you could have traded him at the trade deadline in February. So I don't know as much as they praise Toronto's front office, Nick Nurse is gone. The last coach who was coach of the year is gone. You know, and I know all those things kind of render coach or whatever, but it shouldn't be that hard to trade Paige Siakam. You're not extending them. You know what I'm saying? So, and I also look at Chicago. I'm going to pick on a lot of teams. So, like, I don't know how – did Portland work their phones hard enough? That's kind of what I said. Did they work their phones hard enough? Because everybody – I could see Scoot Henderson playing in all those places. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? New point guard, whether, you know what I'm saying? And then Damian Lillard could have got – you know, they could have got a King's ransom of veteran players back, and Damian Lillard, they probably would have been, like, fourth or fifth seeded in the East. You know what I mean? But –
right.
Everything kind of remains the same. Everything's the only kind of like they're going to get as close as we get to the season. Like that's when all these trades are probably going to pop off.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Thoughts on the format and everything they've got now with this in season tournament coming up this year.
Oh, I think it's going to be a beautiful thing. It's going to give us something to do in between the other sports because they're scheduling it off the other game. So we're basically going to just get free basketball on days when we wouldn't have a game that was really for stakes. And we're going to get the online memes. It's going to be the chatter of people while they're at work, while they're watching the stuff. So I just think it's going to be a beautiful thing for the NBA, a money-making venture. And it's basically stealing the European style of how they run their seasons, where you have, you know, the President's Cup or whatever, you know, how they run theirs. But, yeah, I think this is going to be really good. Now, are there going to be some ridiculous NBA players who win this cup and celebrate like they won a chip? Yes, that's going to happen, too.
I hope not.
And are we
going to
laugh at them online? Yes, that's going to happen, too. Like, dude, it's going to be a good time for all.
Hey, man, if our Pacers win this, we need to hang a banner. Hang the banner. I'm saying it already. Hang it. Hang the banner, baby. Yeah, start on Friday, November 3rd. Championship will be on December 9th. So it's about a month long within these games. Semifinal December 7th. All going to be taking place. Championship's going to be at T-Mobile Center in Vegas. So they want to give that a shot there before they bring that expansion team out there to Vegas. So, I had to chuckle, gentlemen, when I looked in and I saw the quote, randomly drawn groups of five. There ain't no way that's randomly grouped because in the East End where the Pacers are at, you got four teams out of the NBA Central and with the Sixers. So, and you look at the Lakers, they conveniently put them away from the Kings and away from the Warriors. They got them with Phoenix, which, John, you know how I feel about Phoenix. Thoughts with Golden State trading Jordan Poole, and they got Chris Paul now to bring in there. If Chris Paul tries to pump his chest out for that veteran leadership, he better watch it. Draymond may throw him a right hook like he's Jordan Poole.
Well, I mean, that's to be expected, though, because Chris Paul is one of those human beings who can walk in a room and no one, a lot of people in that room hate him and have no problem being himself. As we've seen the low blows over the years and the other dirty tactics. Like, so that's nothing new to Chris Paul. Like, tension is not going to bother him. I think him and Draymond eventually become good friends and end up being the locker room scolds almost to the level of Brian McCann to make all the young players hate both of them. But
can he be the guy?
Do a good job.
Can he be the guy to step back and not be his team? Can he be that guy? Or does he have to be the leader?
He has to at this point. The humble pie is there. He's going to have to eat it. But think about it. Chris running that second team with kids like Kuminga, who he'll be throwing lobs to, and he can really tell people what to do and point fingers and all that stuff that he loves to do. Like I think he's going to enjoy running that second unit because, I mean, his days as a, you know, 1A guy, you know, those are over. Those are long gone. But to be out there in Golden State with those guys, yeah, I think Chris Paul will get along fine with them. Like, do I think they're a contender? No, I think they still need another piece. But you should get a full season of Wiggins. Like, we don't know what happened last year, so you get him back. Clay is probably the bigger question than Draymond and CP3. Because I don't think that's going to get better.
Yeah, I was going to tell John, I have a feeling one of my hot takes for this year is, if not this year or next, by next year at least, I think Klay Thompson's traded. I do. I think Dunleavy's going to come in. Dunleavy will trade him. He don't care.
It would be a smart move. You can't pay that guy $41 million a year. And I think it goes up to $50 after this. Like you can't do that.
Yeah, his contract goes crazy. Man.
Great player that he was. Yeah. This is because of the injury. You know, it's not
right.
You know, no other reason. But
yeah, well, he took a step back. I felt like personally last year.
It's a possibility. I mean, I don't see it, but it's a possibility. Maybe he retires. Says that this is enough. You know what I'm saying? Klay Thompson is he was born from an NBA family, man, so I'm not saying money ain't nothing. Money ain't a thing, like Jermaine Dupri, but you know. it could be like, you know, who wants to go through another possible, like, you know, I know you don't want to go through another injury. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Could not possibly want to go through another injury, man. So maybe they go all guns a blazing, man, and they try to win this year. And, you know, you kind of let things remain determined because, like you said, Steph Curry's contract, you know what I'm saying, gets another raise. And, you know what I'm saying, they just re-up with Draymond. And they still have other – they got another $100,000, $100 million in Wiggins contract on the team, man. And then you'll have to take a hard look. We know – well, the good thing is – so, like, let's say they get to the championship. I'm not going to say they're going to win. Let's say they get to the championship, man. That might have – you know, after that shakeout, that might be kind of determine things. But, like, you're right. It's not going to get better. He is a little bit a shadow of a mistake. If he can get something resembling anything that looked like, you know what I'm saying, even 2 years ago when he had a good series or something. I like the move. I kind of worry about the egos just a little bit. Like, during midseason, Draymond is the – man, but he's big dominant over the organization. Obviously, man, they believe in him. Hell, he gets to do and say whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I kind of worry about the egos kind of going. I think when you talk about their youth, Moody is still on this team as well, man. The second unit should – I kind of thought the second unit should have stepped up this year. I was kind of disappointed in them. And even with, Wiggins was in and out, we know, with the personal issues and whatnot. So, but like, I kind of really thought the second unit should stepped up this year, and that didn't happen. So I'm looking for the second unit. You know what I'm saying? They ain't young kids no more. They're vets now. So I kind of like, I don't say like the Golden State chances, but getting to a winning championship, but getting there, it representing the Western Conference, sure, why not?
Okay. Nas, anything else before we let you go?
Just to switch topics real quick, just with football.
Yeah.
I would recommend everybody check out Dominique Foxworth today. He talked about this running back compensation issue.
Man, it's crazy.
And he came up with a workable solution that really made sense to me. So I just been telling people to check that out. But basically, okay. they have a allocation of money for anybody who outperforms their contract, especially for young players. And that pool of money could be extended in a way to running backs. Like, you could take that idea to that position, because there's no way you can pay anybody beyond their prime, and their prime is always going to be that rookie contract. So you either do that or you change the franchise tag to mean skilled players instead of paying it by position. And if you make it skilled players, that way the guys who overperform won't be slotted like their positional value, which is running back. It's kind of like the con they ran on Jimmy Graham years ago, where he was playing that move tight end position that was new, and they wanted to pay him the franchise number for tight ends at the time, which wasn't high regarded or well paid. So, yeah, so just check that out, man. That's all I would say, man. Thanks for letting me on, and I'm going to hang up and listen to you guys.
Sounds good. Thanks, Nas. Have a good one, buddy.
Thank you. That's all it.
All right, John. That was our guy Nas. Real quick, we got Decot on hold. We'll bring him on in a second. John, a programming note: is your guy calling in tonight or not, or is that next week or what? I never got to talk to you before the show.
Man, I haven't talked to Jetty Santiago. So if he does call, he's in the middle of shooting the video. So if he does call in later on, we'll go through it. But if not, we'll do it next week as well, man. But like, no, bring Decot in here, man.
Okay.
Before we bring him on,
I think it's fitting to me and you talk about the comment that I had the other day with you. When I said I can see Paul George coming back on a 1-year deal to finish his career with the Pacers.
Yeah, I'm with the Pacers talk, and I know Decot ain't necessarily a believer in Paul George coming back, but we got to get to this SEC topic. We got to get into the SEC talk.
Here he comes, Mr. Decot. He's back. Bring the Pepto-Bismol.
Hey.
Oh, wow.
Speaking, I want to hit the easy topic first. I just left Nashville down there for SEC week, so it was pretty good out. It was for work, but after work I had a little bit of fun. But anyway, so I do want to hit, of course, on my boys, right? I didn't have to take much Pepto-Bismol. I was pretty happy with how things played out. I do know we still have another move or maybe two to make before the season. We talked about that forward position, right? And that's definitely a need. But what I'll say is this. Yes, sir.
Listen, I told you the homie he should have been top five, Brandon Miller, but it was okay that the Pacers didn't get a top five pick, okay?
Yeah.
You see, I
like our guy. I saw the game. Believe me. I told you, no need for Pepto-Bismol. No need. Like what I see, right? So, but here's what I'm going to tell you, right? There's been a lot of chatter about Brown's 2-year contract, right? All right, why you pay this bench player, $23 million a season almost? A couple of reasons why.
A little bit of overpay.
It had to be spent. The Pacers were on the threshold last year.
They
can't be on there again, right? So the other part of this is it's a 2-year deal with a team option for the year two. This is one of the best deals that pitchers made probably in 5 years because people are scared of that big number. But it's a 1-year deal at the Pacers' call for the second, not the player, right? So that's what's in there that no one talks about. The other piece of that is getting Obi Toppin.
I like it, man.
Yes,
because Obi Toppin, some of his best games was against these Pacers.
Oh, believe me, I was there. I was at Baker's Life last year when it happened. You're right. So believe me.
You got a guy who got on a prove it contract. Not necessarily prove it to the Pacers, but he got to prove it to the NBA. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
because
that kind of
broke down with the Knicks. I watched Obi Toppin because I like some of his interior rebounding. I think that I thought Martin Jr. from Houston would have been a little bit better fit, but like you would have had to trade. They traded for Martin Jr. Traded for Martin Jr. Even though the Pacers traded for Obi Toppin, it was two second rounders.
Right, we got them back,
and you got back, and. This team, Decot, I know y'all told me, you don't have to say you're sorry. This team is putting itself in position with those vets to sneak into like 6, 7, 8 contention. My personal opinion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And here's
because Brandon Reed, I got your text. Brandon Reed said, Halliburton kids' gloves are off.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
I would agree. I would agree because we can say, well, the money shouldn't determine that. Well, yeah, it does because you got paid like a guy that's a top 12 player in the league. So if that's the case, you need to perform to that level. No, the injuries, make sure you take care of your body this summer, all those things.
Right.
But what I want to talk about.
I didn't say championship.
No. It's baby steps. It's baby steps, man. Listen, they
said 6, 7, 8
playing last year.
You should be 6, 7, 8 for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, but Joe, if you have some opportunity, the ball bounces your way, you stay healthy, and other teams are injured, you just never know. But what they're going to have, and to your point, JB, they've got a logjam in the backcourt that has to be addressed, right? Because if you saw the summer league, I'm gonna tell you, Mr. McConnell, I don't see Mr. McConnell doing much other than standing up cheering this season. Nembhard showed last year during the season and during this abbreviated summer camp that, hey, he's ready to take that next step. You're talking about the 31st pick of last year's draft, and I, mm-hmm. in my opinion, I think it was a steal of that draft. I think they've got to unload some of that backcourt talent. My challenge is, do you mm-hmm. allow Buddy? Do you trade Buddy Hield, knowing how tight he and your best player are? That's a real thing, right? And I just don't know. That's where I'm hung up at right now. You mm-hmm. you know, yes, it's a business, but man, those guys, they were going everywhere this summer league camp together, and they do a lot. You saw them on the bench. They're boys. So you gotta be careful with that, right?
Well, it sounds like if you want T.J. McConnell, he's available. But the, like I said, the Pacers ain't gonna be no fools. You know, T.J. is a very he's a good player. If you start, like, I don't know why Memphis didn't call him. They didn't have John Morant for like 25 games or something. And T.J. McConnell, he's right in there, but the asking price might
be not gonna move.
Right.
He's not going to move the needle to a great point, but he'll hold things down. Look at last year, right? I saw guys on one of the Pacer chat groups, but that's why I don't get on the Pacer chat. Some of these guys are just ridiculous. One guy said McConnell was the heart and soul of the Pacers.
Oh, wait a minute.
Foolish to trade him for anything.
That sounds like Reggie.
When Halliburton was out, when Halliburton was out, McConnell's numbers went up and the losses kept coming. I don't want that.
Yeah.
I want a guy that can move the needle, that can win us, help us.
No, he's
the
elite.
Halliburton's
elite. Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to the season, and I'm going to tell you, as I talked to that other guy, that one guy who's always clowning, I told him, I said, you've got to be ready for that next move. He doesn't want Hield to be traded. But if we got that another move in us, it's going to have to be Hield. And now that we look at the McConnell situation, Hield and McConnell and a combination of something. Because if we get that four, JB, instead of 6-7-8, maybe we're looking at 5-6-7 as a potentially, if we get that right four. And that's my thought on that. Thoughts on that, JB, Brandon, what do you guys think? About off base, I think I'm on point here with a lot of this, what we've been talking about in the trades and what the Pacers did in this early off season.
Yeah, I think I liked it. I did. I mean, here's the thing: you got to pay the money, and I see why we paid it to Bruce Brown, because there's a minimum that you have to pay on your salary. So I'm okay with the price. Right. It's a light contract, 2 years, and with a team option, I'm fine with that. You're kicking the tires on Obi Toppin to see what he's got left. Anything for I believe it was a lottery pick. So you're taking chances on a lottery pick.
Yeah, he was number eight. He was number eight. In 2019, out of Dayton, right? I think it was Dayton.
Yeah.
I think he was the player of the year in that conference. Yeah, yeah.
So I'm fine with that as well. And it still sounds like we're looking for that four, that power four to be the starter. Even with Jarace in there, it's going to take some time for him. So if we have the talent to make a move, I think Pritchard and then make a move. And right now, I honestly think a lot of places are just kind of waiting to see what happens with James Harden and what happens with the Dame Lillard. I think once those two dominoes fall, then we'll start to see the Pacers move, because they end up they may be a third team in one of these two trades, possibly.
I think it'll be a third team in both trades. I think it's going to be three teams in both, because those contracts are so not just complex, but the money, right? And what they want to get back in return. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Pacers are players in one of those deals. Sort of like that Cleveland Pacers, New Jersey Nets deal a couple of years ago that got us the pick with Caris LeVert. So I wouldn't be surprised if something like that happened, right? I look forward to it, though. I'm on it, man, and just hopefully – I'm ready for the season. The schedule to come out, too.
Yeah, plus the Pacers got some guys, like I said, in the summer league. The Isaiah Wong kid, I think he can play either guard position. It's going to be a little bit of a struggle for him to play point guard, because he's used to being a shooter.
But no, man, the future's bright for the Pacers, man. I do believe it is, and like I said, they gotta be thinking playoffs next year.
Yeah. Oh well, that's not thinking. You gotta what they've done so far, and that next move is going to be made. I don't think there's any doubt another move is going to be made, and that's going to put them in a position. I also like the free agent pickup from the big man from Kentucky. I was surprised he didn't get drafted late in the second round, but I think he's. But here's the problem, or the challenge. He's 27, right? So that's in part why the draft situation. But I think he's a guy who, remember the guy, the African dude that played on Toronto when they were going up against the Pacers, and I forget his name. Couldn't shoot free throws, but he'd give him about 15 to 18 hard minutes.
Big Mac Biyombo?
Yeah,
Oh my God.
That's a little bit who he reminds me of.
Oh
man.
My goodness,
but he's thicker. But he's thicker.
He's a space heater.
I like him, man. So we'll see what happens. I'm gonna definitely be engaged with what
D-Cott.
We do coming up.
D-Cott.
Yes, sir.
D-Cott. Don't let Brandon off the hook on that Trace Jackson Davis, man. You know what I'm saying? Go to
the
stage and him up.
Listen. You know what? Brandon speaks with emotion when it comes to Indiana Purdue. You got to understand that, JB, and you got to take it with a grain of salt. I understand he's in pain because big seven foot wasn't going to get drafted. I understand that. He's in pain. You got to understand.
When he hurts, he
wants to hurt. That's my point. He wasn't going to get drafted. You're a guy from Purdue. Wasn't going to get drafted. So that's where the pain comes from, JB. We'll give Brandon a break, man. The guy's a good dude. Just got into his home. We're going to give him a break, at least till next week anyway.
Shout out State Farm Insurance, who's helping us with our flood claim. So shout out.
Good stuff, man.
D-Cott, are you – okay, next topic, man. I can't wait. I'm burning, man. It's burning.
It's coming.
It was SEC Media Week all this week.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Love
you. You know, the Georgia folks are down there talking three-peat, and I don't know how they're going to three-peat. They got controversy after controversy, and got the other quarterback finally, he left. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
I love it, man. They should three-peat. No, three-peat, man. We got to keep that energy going. You got to –
don't let him fool you, John.
Ding dong.
Nick is down there talking about Megan Kate. I don't know if he's talking about Duncan Hines or Betty Crocker.
Man.
But they asked Nick Saban about who's going to be the quarterback. He starts talking about, you know, you take three eggs and a little bit of oil and you got to just make it right cake.
Hey, Nick's not giving up anything, man. But I'm going to tell you.
No, I ain't giving up nothing.
And I'm going to tell you, I talked to a lot of SEC fans down there this week, man. There's a lot of hype about a lot of teams. You know, Arkansas's got KJ and Rocket. They say that's the best duo in the SEC, quarterback running back duo. And I can't argue that point right now. I can't argue that point. So it's going to be very competitive, right? But Georgia's going to be the team, man. You got to give it to Georgia. They went back.
They say,
to back.
Hey man, the West scouts told me LSU's winning the West, man. But it ain't going to be no cakewalk.
But here's what I'll tell you, right? Where I think that
Jay Daniels
is with LSU,
25 pounds.
I was just going to say, the difference is Jaden Daniels, right? Because they've got a competent quarterback who's done it, right?
Yeah.
Bama is hoping. They're hoping. And until Milrow steps up and throws guys open 25 yards down the field, there's a chance that he may be sitting there with a clipboard. And if that's the case, I don't see Bama winning the West if Jalen Milrow is not the quarterback, because he offers so much more, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the talk is, I was talking to a buddy of mine down there, and he says, man, Ty is going to probably win his job. I know that they've made the reports on it just recently, but I'm hearing Ty is engaged. He's hitting guys open. And if that's the case, that's great he wins it. But I'm just going to tell you, man, he's not electric. And with the youth that they've got, you need somebody that's going to be electric, in my opinion. I just don't think they can be that. Well, they're at home though this year against LSU. They're in Brian Denny, so that can be a difference, right? That'll be a big deal. So we'll see what happens.
I haven't You're right, and I haven't. Well, Tennessee's going through violations. How can you be going through violations? I can't believe it.
That was from Pruitt, but the thing is, none of that's going to be residual to the current team. So I think they're going to go away unscathed because what Heupel's doing down there is a good thing, man. And I look for Tennessee to challenge Georgia this year, not to beat them necessarily, but to be a much stronger opponent when they do play this year. So that's my thinking when it comes
From what I kind of was hearing out of Auburn, still another, you know, saying you're grown, man. I don't think they're automatically back into.
He hasn't won any recruiting battles.
He got some players, man. But this is the year for Texas A&M to put up or shut up. Because guess what, Texas is coming next year, and Texas is leaving Bedlam. Can you believe that? I'm sorry, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, Bedlam is going away, and all that's coming over, right? So this is Texas A&M year to put up a shut up. Nick Saban is on cruise control. He can talk about cake. I think LSU, even if they lose two games and win the West, everything's fine. But if Texas A&M if they don't win this year, man, somebody's going to get fired.
Well, here's Florida's the deal, right?
That's why
he brought in.
Oh, yeah, Florida's going to get fired.
That's why he brought in his OC. The challenge with that is, though, is this, JB, is he going to let Petrino coach the offense? Is he going to let him? Those two guys are oil and water, man. So I'm just
telling you. That dude knows football, man. Just keep him away from your cheerleaders. Keep him away from the cheerleaders. Keep him away from anybody. You know,
that's going to be the test. That's going to be the test.
Yeah.
What happens? Because if it can go south, they could wind up 6-6.
He got to beat Bama. They play Bama this year.
Yeah. But here's the thing, though. If they hit a stumbling patch, they can go 6-6, man. It's all between the ears with those guys. And I'm telling you, I don't think that Petrino, even though he's kind of been on the out, I don't think he's coming there to be the consultant. I think he wants to be his offense. And that's why I think he brought him in. Jimbo brought him in.
Well, they gotta win. They gotta win this year.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, it's gonna be exciting, man. People are hyped up, of course, always about the SEC, but about college football in general, man, with the NIL and the money being passed around. It's gonna be the wild, wild west. But the last thing on that though, I don't like Stanky going to the government begging for help now. You had an opportunity to put some guardrails in place, NIL. You didn't do it. So now you're saying, hey, please help us. No. Deal with your situations, what you got, and let the best money win.
Those are some of the smaller schools that still have a little bit of say and a little bit of money going to them. Say, hey, man, like, this is out of control. You know what I'm saying? If all the power schools have, you know what I'm saying, you know what I mean, and they do have the ability. But and I know that's anti-capitalism, what we're saying. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
It's that way because of kids getting paid. If these were adults 25 and over, it'd be no issue.
Well, here's what
the problem is, here's what I'm going to say, man.
I think, you're absolutely right. I think this is all going to level out at some point, though. The net, even though the Pac-12 is getting, they're going to announce sometime in this weekend their new broadcasting deal. I don't know if it's going to be Tubi or Netflix or whoever the heck, but you know the Pac-12 is getting, they got a deal. They got a deal in place. So if they go to Tubi, man, I think they might get some viewership. To be quite honest with you, but like now the ACC is that contract is kind of like rock solid. You know what I'm saying? So. This thought process of like where that network money is all going to flow, it's all going to peanut butter out though too, my personal opinion. You know what I'm saying? And then some people might even get kicked out. Northwestern's not going to have a team in anything.
And Brandon, you all remember we talked about this about a year ago when I said Rutgers and Nebraska need to be gone. Can you imagine? Think about the Big Ten brass. They're thinking to themselves, "What the hell were we thinking?"
Right. This is like keeping us down. This is kind of keeping us down. So, or it might. might even behoove some of those teams that you say are Rutgers or Nebraska or even a Colorado to – well, I don't think Colorado goes. But, you know what I'm saying, one of those teams – our fortunes, yeah, we might be getting paid X amount – what is it going to be, like $40 million, $50 million annually? But we're dead last, and we're going to be dead last. So it might even behoove them to, like, jump over. It was just I listened to – I'm a switch gears a little bit. I listened to the Big 12 because they had their media day too. And though they know they can't, they know they're going to take a heat. They take a lump. You know what I'm saying? A big lump. When Texas leaves and Oklahoma leaves, like, dude, they're thinking about basketball. They sent an invitation. Well, not an official invitation, but they kind of flirted. They kind of thrown it out there that basketball might be something that they kind of, you know what I'm saying, try to swing teams their way. They already got Cincinnati.
Right.
I know somebody, but Cincinnati's, you know, so that's a million people that live in, you know,
right,
in that city. So,
right,
but like they're thinking, you know, bigger. Don't be surprised if they ever try to pull a Big Ten team. I'm not saying IU Purdue that would take, you know what I'm saying, they would take a lot of financials to get IU Purdue.
Well,
so don't be
right,
surprised
because you look because of the sports, right?
Right. Don't be surprised if a Big 12 tries to swing for the fences. They're always talking about Gonzaga. But I think they're also going to think a little bit more easy. Again, I heard UConn, and I couldn't believe my mouth was open when I heard UConn to the Big 12.
That wouldn't surprise you though, man. If you think about it from a perspective, that wouldn't surprise
mm-hmm.
you. I could see that Colorado, you know, going, you know, doing their thing. I could see something
mm-hmm.
like that. Utah, maybe Boise for the football perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you
mm-hmm.
never know. It's going
right.
to shake up. But it's going to be good to
right.
watch, man. I'm just hoping that they don't do anything with the NIL. Just let it play out.
I don't think
he's going to
get
paid.
I think kids are going to, man, kids are still going to get paid. Damn, the dude, it damn near pays to be a running back better in college than it does to be in the pros.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And the kid that went to Atlanta, I feel like he had a daggone Maserati and an NIL deal. And he comes to the NFL for, you know what I'm saying, to play on a rookie deal, man. So, you know,
yeah.
we're
right.
this is top of the crop for you, buddy. But like, no, man, NIL is going to, I think it's going to peanut butter out. And like
well,
I said, some
we'll
of these other schools.
We'll see. Hey,
yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Real quick, I just hit me. My guy Dennis.
Right.
We talked. He's good to be on next week. We can chop up and chat. You know, later in the week if y'all want. And he can come on
Absolutely.
And talk about some of the stuff that we're talking about. He's got the okay from his boss.
As long as he ain't as wild as the Mudflat Mafia. As long as he ain't as wild as them dudes, man.
He's a good dude, man. He's a good dude. And he's going
to
be real succinct, man. And y'all can hit
okay.
him with some good hard-hitting stuff, man. So that'll be good. Can promote some stuff for Pacers. So it's a good deal, man.
All right.
Okay.
Sounds good, D-Cow. We'll see you.
Be safe, fellas.
All right. We got to bring on the other half now. Reggie, what's going on?
First of all, that guy don't know jack about sports. He don't know what he's talking about.
Mm.
He's talking about he don't know why they bought Nebraska and Rutgers in. They bought Rutgers in because of basketball. They bought Nebraska in because of football. That's a whole continent of people. That guy just knows Alabama, and he don't know them. They hot trash. I mean, y'all just let him talk for a whole hour.
That was John's fault.
About nothing.
That's John's fault.
Never.
He don't know nothing about sports.
Oh, my
nothing.
Goodness.
Zero.
Man, it's good. It's good to have you back on the show, man.
Hey, man, it's good to be back, man. It's good to
be
back. I got to work early today. I'm taking a little break, so yeah.
Okay. How was your IBE weekend, man?
Man, it was a great weekend. I only did the free concert. And, you know, it was great seeing
mm-hmm.
you down there, man. It's always good seeing you every place to go. And then I did Harper's
right.
on Sunday and had a good time shutting that down, you know. So I had a great weekend.
Oh, man, I missed that.
Played some
I missed
golf
that Harper's
Saturday.
I heard it was big. You played some golf.
Big, it was big. Yeah. Breaking 100 since Brandon, you know, said I can't break 100, you know. And I hear Brandon throwing shots at me. You know, I congratulated him on his new house and, you know, don't be upset because your pipes burst and everything. At least you got there. And
what did I
say? He got on the bus earlier. You said something early in the conversation. Yeah. Yeah. And then you said,
it was about McConnell. You're an auto guy. That's why I said.
I like McConnell. McConnell could go. I don't believe you can just let Hill go. But I like McConnell. I understand the backload that you have at guard, you know.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. Donnie don't know the reason they didn't go for Memphis and go for McConnell because they picked up Derrick Rose already. So they got Derrick Rose. I guess he don't keep up with sports. All he do is a Facebook sports guy. He don't really know sports.
Damn.
You know?
Damn.
I mean, he know what he know from the Alabama. He know what he know from the Alabama rooms. He wants to hate on the coach, and I love the new Indiana Knight uniforms. I know a lot of people saying they don't like them, but I like that black helmet.
I like the uniform.
The shirt looks like a high school.
I like the uniform. I'm kind of concerned, man. The Tennessee Titans just won't go away, man. DeAndre Hopkins is a
if you think about it,
it's a piece, man.
If you think about it, the Titans is the place that wide receivers go to die at. Look at all the top wide receivers they got. I mean, they got like four of them, you know, and they do jack there, you know what I'm saying?
This is true.
Yeah, I'm not worried about
that. They do share that.
Okay. I think we have to start AR and let him just go through the progress. You know, you got to shorten the playbook, so what, you know? You do that, you let him play so he can learn on the job. You have the backup guy there with the stash there just in case he get hurt or something, you know. And people are talking about our wide receiver core. I actually like the guy out of Cincinnati and Pittman. And, you know, they pick up somebody else. I think our wide receivers, now they got somebody with an arm that can throw the ball, you know. I think the offensive line is going to play a lot better than last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that JT is going to get signed to a long contract. Well, not long, maybe a two-year or three-year deal. I mean, just because Shaquan Barkley and the rest of those guys didn't get signed. I think Ursay's in touch with his players. You know, he believes in paying his players. You know, and the dummy, he's going to talk about Ursay and call him a drug heroin. Ursay gets along with his players. Ursay admitted his faults, and he's cleaned himself up.
I'm concerned.
Look, Elgin loves
him. I am concerned. You have to be. Blue Nation has to be concerned with Shaq Leonard. You got to be concerned with Shaq
Leonard. I'm not worried about Shaq. I'm worried about Jonathan Taylor. I mean, he's not too happy with the old running back thing.
He's going to be okay. He's gonna get re-signed probably mid-season. He's going to play in a two-year deal, get re-signed. Something's going to get done. I believe that. Two- or three-year deal. You heard it here. And did I hear y'all talking about the Pacers, the dummy talking about?
Yeah.
If you look at the draft, Halliburton, Nesmith, the guy from Milwaukee, Obi Toppin, and I think there's another guy. I think we got five of the top picks from that draft on our team. Go look it up.
Oh, wow, yeah. If you look at it like that, yeah.
All of them came from the same draft. All of them came from the same draft. And I don't care what people say. I don't care how Miles Turner dressed. I don't care if you like men or women. Long as you give me 2010 a night, I'm perfectly fine.
I don't think we're going to get that.
I don't care. I think he was close to it last year until he got hurt.
Yeah.
He was close.
I want that 20-10 against Embiid or against Jokic. That's what I want, the 20-10 against these other guys.
He's always gonna have a hard time playing against Embiid. Who don't have a hard time playing against Embiid? Who don't have a hard time playing against Jokic? Hey, but we frustrated Joker and them when they were here. Didn't we win that game? Didn't we beat Denver? I
can't remember.
Or it was a close game. Last year?
I know it was close.
And you heard it here first. The players, the Pacers, they've already said they don't make the playoffs as a bust. Season's a bust. They will make the playoffs. And they will. They're not going to come in as the last team in the playing game.
Gotta be
the playoffs. They will make the playoffs, barring no injuries. I like the roster. The kids like each other. And they will. They get along. They like each other. And I think it's just going to be a team that's going to be competing for. They all know they got to come in and compete for playing time, so they're going to be playing hard. I like the draft. I even like the 24th draft or 27th was Ben. I think he's going to be a shooter. And for some reason, he reminds me of Nehemiah a little bit.
When are you going to get that playing time, man? They're going to be playing down there at that Noblesville place, man. For real. Because, like, I don't know where
no,
else.
No, he didn't get a two-way contract. He's on a one-way contract.
Some of these dudes going to be mad ants, though, man. It's all right. They get called up.
Yeah, but there's some people,
when somebody else wants you to get hurt or whatever and is out for like 2 weeks or so, and you people be thinking about Lance Stevenson, man, that's who they're going to call. They're going to call one of them mad ants from up in Noblesville, up in Fisher. Come on down here, Ben. We need you to shoot some threes.
If he's not getting playing time, they may delegate him down there. But I think initially they're gonna have him playing up. I think initially they're gonna have him playing up.
Dude, that's a lot of guards, Rich.
Yeah, it's a lot of guards. That's why they had to let Chris Durante go. And I like Chris Durante, but you got too many guards. I think TJ McConnell may be gone too. To somebody that needs some guard help. I like him. You know, he's a bully coming off the bench and everything.
Off the bench, right.
Hikes the team up, you know. He's improved his 3-point shooting.
Yeah.
Right. From when when he played in Philadelphia, he was atrocious.
And man, I used to hate to see him shoot it, but the last part of the season, you can leave him open, you know. But I like him more or less for his stealing inbound passes. He's a pest in that backcourt, you know, to me.
Yeah, he gets steals.
But I think things are looking up.
Sounds good, Red. Well,
y'all didn't even mention that UCLA, USC coming to the Big Ten. You know, bug the SEC. Don't nobody care about the SEC, but Cox, because you know he left Notre Dame to go to Alabama. You know, he's just a hater. He's just a hater of everything besides the Pacers. You know, he might as well move to the place like Kentucky where they get down with their cousins or something, you know? That's all Alabama is, man.
There goes our listeners.
Damn, Calipari.
Hey, but I'm back, y'all. I miss talking to y'all, man. Y'all didn't change the show the Thursday from Wednesday? This week we did.
I had a scheduled conflict trying to get the office built with all the – too many fans were going on Wednesday. Now all the fans are gone, so –
Well, I see you sitting back on your new backyard with your feet kicked up at the heater, so you weren't doing too much work on the new one, so yeah.
No, I had to wait, man. I had to let those fans dry that ceiling.
And you can invite me to the open house. I'm going to invite the other guy because he scared your neighbors away. You know, he may try
I'm still waiting for somebody. I'm missing. I see you on this golf course. I'm still waiting for that. My phone must not be getting your text. There's something
up. No, you just what it is you a married man now. You got to get permission a week ahead of time to get out and play. You ain't running things yet. When you start running things, you let me know. You know when you can say, look, I get home. When I get home, you let me know. Okay.
All right, Reggie. We'll talk to you later, Reggie. You're gonna get me in trouble.
Don't get in trouble, Reggie.
See you, Red.
I'm back in motion with y'all now, fellas.
Beautiful. Thanks, Red.
Hold on, Red.
All right. That's our guy, Reggie Sykes. We've had King of Trolls. We've had Nas. And we've had Decot tonight. So we've hit the trifecta this evening. We're going to quick ad read. We got to pay some sponsors, right? We got to have the sponsors here. So we'll go ahead and hit that real quick.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of Peekaboo and Duck Duck Goose, because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm insurance agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you'd do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We also want to thank our sponsor, Maverick Custom Motorsports, where ideas are born, created, and dreams are – let me try that again. Where ideas are created and dreams are born, specializing in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, jeeps, and trucks, offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check them out today, maverickcustommotorsports.com. Let them know Crossroads Sports sent you. John, I also can say that, hey, Jonathan Birdsong is on Threads, people. It took enough time, but JB is on Threads. How's that
experience? I'm on Threads, man. Every now and then I get the itch in me to put out a video or, you know what I'm saying, to – it's just Birdsong 74 Threads, man. So if you're listening, you can follow the Threads. You can also follow Crossroads Sports on Threads and on Twitter. Crossroads Sports is still on Twitter. Three Foods is still on Twitter. Brandon Reaper is still on Twitter. We're still on Twitter. But we you know what I'm saying, we're doing our due diligence. We're all the social medias, all every social media, YouTube, and every all parts in between, man. TikTok, it's coming, but –
Oh, TikTok's coming. I can't wait, JB, our TikTok account, and see you just kind of going. I'll do the sports betting section of that. I can't wait whatsoever. John, do you want to do our invitation?
Yeah, we got him on one?
I believe so. Let me find out real quick and see who we got here. Let's see here, his number here. Crossroads Sports, who we got?
Jet Santiago.
Jenny Santiago, Brandon Reese, let me tell you something, man. I met Jenny Santiago, man, a couple of months ago, man. He's an upcoming hip-hop artist here in the city of Indianapolis.
Okay.
If anybody doesn't know him, now you do, man. But he's also a bit of a sports nut, man. Like, me and him had some great sports debates, man, in my nephew's garage. That puts any kind of context of, like, how being him chop it up, man. But I wanted to bring him up to the show, man, because, like I said, me and him be chopping up on sports and comic books too, man. That's a whole nother that'd be a whole nother show, me and him start talking comics. But I wanted to bring him on the show, man, because he's pretty good. I mean, Brandon, for me to bring, he's probably 25 years my senior, and he's probably, like, what, 15 years your senior, man. So for a young guy to impress me with his music. Like, dude, I had to come out here, man, and kind of talk about it. And I know everybody said, hey, man, what are y'all talking about? We'll shift back here in a little bit into the sports, man, because like I said, JD Santiago got some hot takes, Brandon. Like, Brandon, we're going to be on, once we shift into sports, you're going to be like, wow. But,
oh boy.
Without further ado, Crossroads Sports, listen, audience, JD Santiago, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. Appreciate you for having me, huh?
Jet, how did you start rap? I mean, he's more than a rapper. He's a hip hop artist. So, like, how did you get to start?
So actually, I had my start actually in sports. I was always doing music my whole life, but I was playing basketball and taking basketball serious. So I never even paid attention to the music until after I graduated from high school. Really, I started having back problems and. After high school,
okay.
You get to college, you start wanting to expand more. So I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do in life, and I was there for acting already, but I still had a passion for music and creating. So that's what got me into music. I went to a concert, one of my favorite artists, J. Cole. I went to his concert, snuck into the pit at the pavilion, and just really being that close and seeing how he affected all the people in the crowd really inspired me to chase my passion in music.
Okay. And I know you got a project out, like a couple projects out right now. So you are on all the socials. Where can people go listen to this music?
Everywhere, Apple Music, Tidal, Spotify, YouTube, I'm on. You can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, at Jet Stay High. Facebook, Jet Santiago. Yeah, I'm everywhere with it.
You ain't
SoundCloud
on Threads
if
yet?
You're there.
He's not on Threads
I'm on
yet.
Threads. I'm on Threads.
Oh, he's on Threads. All right, there we go.
Yeah, I'm on Threads. It slowed down since the first week, but I'm still on there strong. I get a thread in a day.
Okay. It was a pain in the butt to get John on. It took him forever.
It takes me forever, man. I got to see what's going on. I can't put all your everybody's information is out there. You got to wait. You got
Twitter Junior
before you. Yeah, you guys. You said Twitter clone for sure, man. For sure.
I said it's Twitter Junior.
for sure. But like, nah, man. I wanted to bring you on, man. Talk a little bit about the music. I'm glad. You know what I'm saying? We finally got to get to chop it up, man, because, like I said, he does have some very strong opinions about sports. So, Brandon, if I said LeBron James is a better dunker overall than Vince Carter, would you say I was crazy?
No, I wouldn't think you're crazy saying that. I would have to hear. I'd have to hear the reasons. But I think it's crazy now.
Okay, Jet. This is actually a debate me and him just had this other day, man. He said LeBron James won't need him in the top 10.
Even top 10.
I would say you're out of your mind. I didn't say he wasn't in the top 10. I said he was not a better in-game dunker than Vince Carter.
He said not. Did you say Vince Carter was the best? Because I said I don't think Vince Carter can catch Michael Jordan.
In-game dunker? I don't think it's a lot of people that – I don't think LeBron's a better in-game dunker than Blake Griffin.
I don't know, man. You have selective memory when it comes to your player.
No, I don't.
You have selective memory when you come to your
– See, I don't have a problem. He just folded. So this is my problem. I think he is very athletic, and I think he has one of the most highest verticals. I think he's dunked on a lot of people. But as far as dunk packages coming down, windmill and being flashy, like in-game dunks in dunk packages, I think he's done. He has his signature dunk that everybody knows where he's coming down, tomahawk to the right. Everybody knows what LeBron's going to do on the fast break. Other than that, he might give you a reverse sometimes. Paul George did Vince Carter's 50 dunk in the game.
Paul George is not in this conversation, though, man.
not even
before that he broke the ankle. Before he broke the bone in his leg.
No, I don't think he's in the top end game, Duckers.
I'm gonna switch gears. I'm gonna switch gears a little bit on you, man. Where do you rank Kobe as? Where do you rate Kobe in your all-top five list? This was a heated debate.
All time?
Where you got him? All time.
Be careful.
Jet don't tiptoe. You got him in the top six. Jet don't tiptoe. He's got him in the top six. But where you got LeBron at?
Top seven.
That's a tiptoe. Hey, I know people that don't have Kobe in the top 10. So, I mean, it's not.
I would say those people need to get their eyes checked and do their history.
What are they forgetting, Jet? Because, like, Jet sees Kobe's teams without Shaq a little bit more dangerous than. Or a little bit more lesser. So
Kobe's teams without Shaq has had less talent than I want to say everybody in the top 10.
Wow. Wow.
His teams without Shaq.
What do you think, Brandon?
Everybody in the top 10, Magic had way more talent than Kobe had.
Okay.
Jordan and Pippen had more talent.
Jordan, Pippen, and Robin.
The first three titles, no, he didn't.
Who? You don't think Jordan had more talent than Paul Gasol and Andrew Bynum?
He's
talking about the first three. First three, man, I don't know. I'm going to go with the Bulls on that one. They had more talent.
Really? Okay.
LeBron definitely had more talent. I don't need to bring that one up.
Oh, man. Chris Bosh and Paul Gasol is equal, man.
But D-Wade was the two, not Chris Bosh. And Kyrie was the two, not Kevin Love.
Okay, man. Kevin Love. Y'all love Kevin Love. Kevin Love had great stats in Minnesota, and he was the alpha. Brad, I kind of remember, him being the alpha player there, and then when he got to Cleveland, it was the third guy role. You know,
Chris Bosh.
I don't know.
Same with Chris Bosh. He was put up in Toronto. He came with LeBron, and then his third option power forwards, their numbers decline, and they become sad. To the public opinion. After Kevin Love putting up 42-20 with 6 of 8, he was almost playing like Joker. He wasn't all the way there.
John, what did, have you brought him up? My hot take about Kevin Durant.
No, man, tell him please share it with him.
Kevin Durant. Well, I mean, it's not only just a hot take anymore, but Kevin Durant is never going to win another NBA title as long as he plays in his NBA ever. Never.
Wow.
He will never win another title.
I don't think he will either. I think he cursed it. I don't think he will either. I honestly don't think. And I don't think this Phoenix. I don't think just throwing a whole bunch of stars together and good players together. I don't think that necessarily works all the time. Because I think the championship teams, you need pieces, and they for sure don't have a bench. That was their problem last year. Like Devin Booker and Kevin Durant just trying to put up 40 a game. For y'all to even have a chance at winning is not going to work.
Hot take number two. I think Greg Popovich is a better coach than Phil Jackson.
Definitely. Phil hasn't won without the top 10 players.
Absolutely. Popovich is built over 20-plus years.
Phil has not won without Kobe or Jordan.
Or Shaq.
He hasn't won without them. I think people try to bring that against Jordan sometimes. Go, okay, he had a feel. And I don't even like the Jordan-LeBron debate. I think it should still be Kobe-LeBron debate. I think that was propaganda, but we don't even need to go there. I don't think Phil didn't win anything until he got with Jordan.
I got destroyed on Twitter for saying Popovich was better than Phil. I think I just had Laker fans coming at me, I think.
No, Pop is definitely a better coach.
Well, we're going to tell you. Make sure he follows you.
Didn't he go a while without – how long did he go without a losing season?
Yeah. I don't know how many years it's been, but shoot. I mean, shows he's a building a culture. Phil never built a culture out in L.A. He just brought the triangle. They paid for the players. Yeah, Spurs may have paid for some, but they did a lot of building internally, too, and drafting internally.
Man, we just lost Chicago. We just lost the Chicago market. Y'all know that, right?
Probably L.A., too.
Jetty,
they already pissed.
I'm not trying to sell some music.
Yeah, he can get up there and sell some music. We can do it. Hey, I think here in my new house, I can smell the concert going on over at Ruoff right now with Snoop. I didn't realize he was in town tonight.
Yeah, he is in town.
So.
Oh, yeah, big Snoop. Yeah, I think him and Wiz are in town.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, wow. I'm surprised. I'm glad we got you on the phone while we got you, man. I heard around town that you got a video shoot tomorrow. Is this an open shoot or this is a closed shoot?
Yeah, it's an open shoot. It's an open shoot.
So what time are you shooting, and like, where are you shooting at?
So I got a video shoot tomorrow at Hot Boys, world famous Hot Boys. It's out in Fountain Square. It's a new chicken spot out in Fountain Square. And I'm going to be out there at 8 p.m. tomorrow shooting around 7, 8 p.m. shooting. So they got a little dope inside filled with a whole bunch of LED lights and graffiti, different stuff.
I'm down there.
We need to get him Crossroads hat to wear for this shoe. That's what we need.
For sure.
Get some swag on him. Come on now.
Jay, for man, sure. It's good. I will catch up with you. You already know, man. But please, man, before you get off this show of ours, man, just give all your socials again, man. Everybody go download. You got a new single out, y'all. I put it on the story.
Yeah,
I'll put some more music. I'll post some more music on the story, man. But Jet, please give all your socials, man. And everybody in the 317, like I said, it's an open video shoot. My man Jetty's all about peace. He's all about the city of Indianapolis. He's all about, I mean, like I said, he raps. He raps like it's like 1997, y'all. You know what I'm saying? But the beats is 2023, y'all. But Jetty, please give everybody your socials, man. And like I said, give everybody, you know what I'm saying, the spot where you're going to be at next week. I mean, tomorrow.
Once again, my name is Jet Santiago. You can follow me on all social media platforms at Jet Stay High. My Facebook is Jet Santiago. You can find my music on Apple Music, Tidal, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere where you listen to music. I just released my new single, Money Mitch, Paid in Full, based off that. So that's what I'm going to be shooting tomorrow at Hot Boys, world famous Hot Boys out in Fountain Square tomorrow, 7, 8 p.m. Pull up if you're free. It's going to be a good time, good vibes.
Sounds good. Jet, thank you for joining us, my man. And anytime you want to debate or you want to test some hot takes, bring it on, my man. We'll do it. And we'll keep the conversation going.
Appreciate
it. Have a good one.
Top eight.
Oh, come on.
I have good one.
I see it.
Thanks, Jet.
All right. That's Jet. Jet Santiago. Follow him on Twitter, at Jet Stay High. I just followed him. We'll get Crossroads to follow him here shortly. John, last thing I go before we go, we had a big show this evening. Big show, comeback
big show. Big show.
We didn't really talk too much. You know, we talked, I guess we talked a little bit with everybody about the NFL running backs. You know, Saquon Jacobs didn't get no extensions. Jonathan Taylor tweeting.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, if you're good enough, they'll find you. Number two, if you work hard enough, you'll succeed. If you succeed, number three, they'll boost the organization. And then it doesn't matter. You're a running back. That's some salty grapes there by JT. And you know, right, Nas has talked. I'm going to listen to that Dominique Foxworth. You know, I'm not really a big fan of Foxworth, but I'll listen to him. But they got to do something. And if it's you keep
right,
the franchise
right.
tag off of them or you exceed your contract expectations, you're worth it because that's what you are. You chew up a running back, you spit him out. And I sent you the picture the other day. If anybody knows about wanting trying to sit out and try to maximize your worth, Le'Veon Bell, just apologize to all us Steeler fans because he – pissed away $14.5 million per year because he wanted to sit out. And, yeah, so.
Right. In hindsight, man, Le'Veon Bell did not handle that situation properly. And I don't know. Him and Saquon is a little bit uniquely different. I kind of see the organizations, right, because running backs, it's like, man, this is a new – yeah, it's a nice new shiny, you know what I'm saying, piece of our offense, but, like, every year it takes the most hits. So that's how the university – excuse me, the organization assesses running backs. That's not fair because players like Jonathan Taylor and players like Saquon Barkley are – they are large chunks of their offense. There's no way they aren't. You know what I'm saying? They're large chunks of their offense, and they are dynamic players. And to automatically pigeonhole them and to say, hey, man, you can only make this amount of money because of some, you know what I'm saying, some god-awful bargains, you know what I'm saying? I definitely, when everybody goes back, when they go back to the collective bargain, when they go back to, like, you know what I'm saying, how contracts are negotiated, I guarantee this is going to come back up. I also guarantee everybody that Saquon is going to get paid. I guarantee you Saquon is going to play. There's no way Saquon is not going to play. And they're haggling over $5 million, which is like quirky. Because, Brandon, all NFL contracts aren't guaranteed. So you can get out of paying a wide receiver. You can get out of paying a quarterback. You can get out of paying a running back. So I don't know what the crazy is like. Was the guaranteed money that you had to pay him up front? Why is the Giants being cheap? You don't have a super dynamic. You should know that. You know that. Daniel Jones is not Tom Brady. Daniel Jones is not Peyton Manning. Daniel Jones is not anybody quarterback that anybody can say, hey, man, flip a coin. Guess what? We getting to go to the Super Bowl. No, Daniel Jones is not that. So why are you penny pinching yourself away with your superstar player? And I get that he's a running back. And you're trying to put your foot down, but like this is kind of on the New York Giants. My personal feelings, because like I said, if truth be told, they're haggling over $5 million of money that if the wheels fall off on Saquon Barkley, you can cut him. Ezekiel Elliott is not and now guess what, America? It counts against your dead cap, but your fans don't care. And guess what? You really don't care because dead cap. What does that mean? You just gonna draft another running back? Who cares? So pay in the meantime, between times, pay Saquon so that you don't look like fools and you don't make the player look like he's greedy. Because $10 million for a running back, come on, man. In this NBA market, they say Pittman, I'm going to put it, Pittman for the coach, can make between $18 to $21 million. Hey, man, he's a wide receiver. I get it. But Pittman ain't better as a player. He ain't better than Jonathan Taylor. He's not as a player.
right? I'm just saying player for player. I know they're playing two different
right.
players. I'm saying as a player for player, he's not better than Jonathan Taylor. So I'd have to get somebody like Jonathan Taylor or Saquon Barkley asking for like, but like you got to also see it from an organization standpoint too. That's what I would see. But like the penny pinch, a star player when you know your other pieces of your offense aren't necessarily there. Who's their tight end in the New York Giants? Nobody knows, right? So why are you penny pinching with Saquon Barkley? You know what I'm saying? That's how I look at it. If it's right, he'll get out there though. That's what I believe.
Pat Fitzgerald was fired from Northwestern, who's had the longest tenure. Big Ten coach got shit canned for some hazing. Now they've got a long Northwestern fumbled the bag the entire way on this from beginning to end.
Yep.
They kind of said, oh, we'll suspend it. And then they had some backlash. So they're like, oh, we're just going to go ahead and terminate you. So that's going to be interesting to see kind of how that plays out for Northwestern.
Yeah, I don't know. The hazing doesn't pressure the win. Is that why you have a hazing? I don't get that, man. I don't understand why Northwestern. Yeah, I don't get it.
But ball, the more coming up. He'll be joining us once we talk.
I'm here, man. It's still a little choppy, but I'm here.
Okay. Well, something happened. StreamYard just went down. But we got you. You came back and StreamYard went down. So, but real quick, Florida Bodega. Purdue, Kansas, Michigan.
It broke off, man. We might have to finish the show. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah, okay, there it goes.
Can you hear me?
It's kind of chopping up, man. Barely.
Well,
there you go.
One sec. Florida Dinga. For schools, thoughts?
Duke, hey, man, IU better be concerned. That's all I can tell you. IU better be concerned.
Yep. So, all right, John, you want to wrap it up and we'll go?
Nah, man, I know we had a lot of talk guests tonight, man, and a lot of people chimed in on the conversation, man. I know we missed a lot of IndyCar. Y'all, who just won? I know this is the mid Ohio was a couple weeks ago, so it was Toronto for the folks. I know they kind of chimed in on that. Man, Alex Palou was still the number one driver in IndyCar, man. Ain't nobody catching. But, you know, Christian Lundgaard, he won this past week in Toronto, man. Shout out to Christian Lundgaard. He was last year's Rookie of the Year. He finally got a one. Like I said, man, Alex Palou is probably going to win Driver of the Year in IndyCar. I know our diehard Cincinnati Reds fans, Brandon, we were getting told, man. If we don't talk about the Reds, man, real quick. I know,
two in a row. We're back.
They're back, man. But Dela Cruz and Johnson India are both in the doghouses, man. I do a funk, man. Hopefully, some of those sluggers can get their bats back going as well and get this. You got me believing being the Big Red Machine. Got you to Cincinnati Reds to get back to the winning ways, man, because it's a feel-good. Even though Cincinnati is and we're in Indianapolis, man, it's a feel-good because, you know what I'm saying, we're kind of caught in the middle as well. The Cubbies put up 17 night before last, man. That was crazy. That was a crazy game if they had put up 17. It was like 17-3 game. But, like, nah, man.
Yep.
I know we kind of glazed over baseball, but I want to mention, because I know we have listeners, people chime me all the time on Twitter about the Cubs. But we ain't talking about the Cubs. You ain't talking about the Reds. I'm sorry, man. But there it is, man. But, yeah, the Reds are back winning. The Cubs are getting their bats back. Shohei Ohtani, man, I don't think they trade him, man. I don't know. I mean, I get it. They think they have to trade him, man. With Los Angeles Angels have to trade him, man. But, like, dude, that dude is he's something special, man. And from a fan's perspective, man, like, I'd rather let him – I'll be honest with you, if I was a fan of that team, I'd rather see him walk than get traded, man. You know what I'm saying? Just rather see him walk back.
Yep.
He pitches great. He hits great, man. Like, dude, if you can't put together a good team, I get it, man, but don't trade it. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
But other than that, man, I think we had a great show tonight, man. Thanks to Jetty Santiago for calling in, man. I'm going to be down there. I'm going to try to make it tomorrow to the video shoot. Thanks, D. Kyle, for calling in. Thanks, Reds, for calling in, man. And thanks, Nas, for calling in. We talked the NFL. We talked the NBA. We talked college football, man. We're probably going to talk a whole lot more next week, man. Until that time, man, thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.
Thank you.